I don't know why Don Harrison would say anything about the length of the sermon. You know that I'm a short preacher. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter 2. We're going to bounce around a little bit tonight in that second chapter of 1 Peter. I want us to begin by noticing two key words that are mentioned in the first verse that Brother Hoyt read, verse 5 of 1 Peter 2. Now, I have reference to the word lively and the word spiritual. It might be good to pause just a minute to also notice the word stones and to notice that Christ is referred to as a living stone in verse 4 and also said to be a precious stone. For those of you who were not with us at the morning service, we talked about Christ as our rock, and how we can stand on Him and find the strength and the help that is needed. And so in a sense, this lesson tonight, I suppose, ties in with the one this morning in that it refers to Him as a lively stone and as a living stone and one who is precious, and then talks about us as stones. He is the foundation. He is the rock. But we are the stones that need to be put into that spiritual house that is described here. Twice in verse 5, the word spiritual is mentioned. It's used to describe the house that is built, and it's used to describe the sacrifices that are offered. I wonder sometimes if we are as spiritually minded as we ought to be. We talk about the word spirituality. I'm not for sure that that's the best word to use, and yet we use it and understand what it means. But certainly we need to learn to be more spiritually minded. When I look at audiences that come together for services like this and observe people, when I go to chapel at Fried Hardeman and observe those that are present there, and perhaps even more especially when I try to look inwardly at my own self and think about how easy it is to become involved in the busy affairs of life and tied to so many things that are of a physical nature, I wonder, are we as spiritually minded as we ought to be? Back a few years ago, before I left Tullahoma and moved here to work with you, one of our elders was involved in a conversation with his daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law was a young adult. They'd only been married for a short period of time. She had not been a Christian for very long, really, just a short period of time. She said to her father-in-law, "I just don't feel fulfilled, spiritually speaking. There is something that is lacking. I'm just not fulfilled, spiritually speaking." He, being a very wise man in my estimation, not only from this event but from having worked with him for several years, began to talk to her, and he talked to her about her reading of the scripture. Not very much. He talked to her about prayer. She didn't pray very much. He asked her how long it had been since she had visited a shut-in. She couldn't remember. How long it had been since she had visited someone who had visited the services, she couldn't remember. And every question that he asked, dealing with spiritual matters and doing things that were of a spiritual nature, basically she said, "I'm not doing." But she said, "I'm just not fulfilled spiritually." I've thought about that word fulfilled several times, and I have concluded that perhaps the best answer to it is to turn the word around. If we're going to be fulfilled spiritually, perhaps we need to be filled full, spiritually speaking. And that may be where our problem is. It seems to me here in the second chapter of 1 Peter, we have one of the finest chapters in the Bible to really cause us, I hope, to think, at least it causes me to think, about what is involved in being built up a spiritual house and offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. Being lively stones, one translation translates that living stones. In other words, we are alive Christianity is something where we ought to be alive. Spirituality is something where we ought to be alive. We as lively stones. I want you to notice now two things mentioned in verse 5 and a third thing mentioned in verse 9, the other verse that Hoyt read. And I think we began to see what's involved in this spiritual idea. He says we are built up, we offer up, and we show forth. We are built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices and to show forth the praises of Him. As I think about those three things, I sort of get the concept that first the built-up idea is that I personally need to feel that I am spiritually inclined. And I don't mean by that some better felt than told idea or some emotional experience that's out in left field somewhere. I just simply mean that somehow or other I need that assurance. I need to be able to take self-inventory. And so do you. And in looking at that, believe that I have a relationship with God, with Christ, back to Sunday morning, that I am standing on that rock, that I am serving that Lord who is higher than I. I need that personal assurance. And when I read these words, built up, I sort of get that idea, that I need to be built up in my own thinking and in my own life, in my relationship to God. And then when I look at the words offer up, I sort of think in terms that God needs to know that I'm spiritually minded. And I need to be concerned about what God thinks. And whether or not what I am offering up to Him is really spiritual from His standpoint, you see. Not only building up a spiritual house, but offering up spiritual sacrifices to Him. And in order for any sacrifice that is offered to be right, it's got to be accepted by the recipient, not just by the giver. And so God is involved in this spiritual idea. And then because we do not live in corners as hermits by ourselves, we show forth. And whereas the offering up is vertical, this is a horizontal idea. We show forth the praises of Him, but we show that to the people that are around us. And we emphasize to them that we are spiritually minded, that we are concerned about the spiritual things in life. Now keep those three ideas before you. Number one, we are built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices and to show forth the praises of God that others may see. And even later on it is said that they may glorify God because of that. Sometimes just looking in the context, we get some ideas that help us to understand what is being said, cast a lot of light. In fact, if we'll learn to back up two or three verses and go forward two or three verses, sometimes we just learn a lot more from a passage. And so let's do a little bit of investigation in this chapter. First, we're going to be built up. That's the idea of a house. Well, there are three things, basically, that you need in order to have a good house. First, you've got to clean the lot, the territory where you're going to put that house. And you need the right building materials, and you need a blueprint. And I believe you'll see all three of those at different points in this chapter. Look at verse 1. Laying aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. Verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And verse 24, he says, we being dead to sin. Now, at least three times in this chapter where he talks about the right kind of spiritual building, he says, you need to clear away the rubbish. You need to clear away those things that might be standing there, if we were talking about a physical lot, on the lot where you want the house to be. You've got to clear it away and get ready to build. And not only that, but after the house is built, you may have to go back on that lot and around the foundation and cut the weeds and the bushes that begin to grow again. You see, there is the laying aside. There is the clearing away of those things that keep us from being spiritually minded. It's very difficult to be very spiritually minded if your heart's full of malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking and lust. So if we're going to be built up a spiritual house, we've got to do some ground clearing. Verse 2 indicates the right kind of material. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. In fact, the American Standard Version translates that the spiritual milk of the Word. If you're going to build a brick house, you use brick. If you're going to build a block house, you use block. If you're going to build a wood house, you use wood. If you're going to build a spiritual house, you need to use the spiritual Word. Here he emphasizes the milk because this is where the starting point is of the newborn babe in Christ. But the Hebrew writer emphasizes growing to the strong meats, you see. And that would be a part of the Word also. But notice he says the building material that is needed for that spiritual house is the sincere or the spiritual Word of God. Sometimes when we're talking about faith, we emphasize Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Go back to the little story I told you a few minutes ago. Can you understand why a person might not be very spiritually minded if they never read God's Word? Never pray to God? Never apply God's Word in life? We need to clear the territory, and we need the right kind of building material. And in order to put all of this in focus, we need the right blueprint. And that blueprint is given to us in verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus Christ, the blueprint. Even earlier in the chapter, he talks about how he is an example. Jesus Christ, the blueprint. Now, if you want to build up a spiritual house out of lively stones, clear the ground, use the right kind of building material, and use the right blueprint. Then notice he says to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Not only must the house be built, but there needs to be activity in that house. Have you ever noticed a house, a new house in fact, that's built, nobody's moved into it yet? And if that continues, nobody moves into it for a little while, the house seemingly begins to deteriorate. You can just almost see it changing before your eyes because there's no activity in that house. I think here's where one of the key points is as far as spiritual living is concerned. Not only must we be concerned about getting ourselves right after that example of Jesus and building the spiritual house, but then we need to get busy offering up spiritual sacrifices. The word sacrifice that's used here seems to be used in a general sense to describe anything that we offer to God. Our assembly tonight is an offering of praise to God, a sacrifice to Him. Sweet-smelling sacrifices. Sweet-smelling savor, as it's called in other places. We offer up. And when we get to the point that we realize that God is the recipient of our worship, He is the one to whom we direct our worship, and that what we're doing is to please Him and not to please ourselves, it's going to affect our lives spiritually. And I believe there's another little seed for thought that's embedded in verse 17, where he says four or five different things, and he simply says, fear God. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. In every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. Look at all those passages that emphasize the importance of fearing God. And this is not afraid in the sense that He's going to harm us, in the sense that we would be afraid of a vicious animal. It's respect and awe and amazement that God is as great as He is, and that He's as merciful to us as He ought to be, or as we need Him to be. And that mercy is mentioned there in verse 10, if you'll notice. The mercy of God to us when we fear Him, when we offer up spiritual sacrifices. And the conclusion is that if we use ourselves offering up spiritual sacrifices to God, it's going to help keep us in the right road, in the right way, and doing the things that are going to help us to be able to feel ourselves that we are spiritually minded. Oh, when we're in a service like this, like the one we were this morning, especially at 10 o'clock when we close that service with that song, There Is a God. I don't think there's a song that this congregation sings any better than that one. And I still believe the building shakes a little bit when we sing it. When we leave a service like that, don't we feel better? Are we not encouraged and uplifted? Are we not more spiritually minded when we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God? And I hope we don't limit it to our services. Oh, we use other times, other specific times, and in a general sense, our entire lives to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. I like that verse that says, pray without ceasing. And I don't know what you think about that verse. I'm sure there's several ideas associated with it, but I have concluded that my thought process is a prayer to God. That there is a sense in which everything I think and everything I do 24 hours a day is a part of my relationship to God. And in that sense, I don't have to start a prayer with addressing the Father and saying amen. There is a sense in which my entire thought process is a relationship to God. There's the spiritual relationship that I think we need. Even when we are laughing with one another and enjoying things in life, even then we have that relationship with God. Built up and to offer up. And then he says the third thing in this chapter is that we need to show forth. We need to realize that our spiritual lives are involved horizontally with one another. That little gem there in Matthew 5 says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Almost the same thing is said here. He says that ye may show forth the praises of him. And if you just skip on down just a little bit, notice he says in verse 12, which they shall behold and glorify God in the day of visitation. It's just a little bit longer way of saying the same thing that's said in Matthew 5:16. We are to show forth the praises of God. And as we live and let Christ be seen in our lives, it strengthens us, spiritually speaking. And notice several things that are mentioned in this chapter that have to do with our relationships with one another where we show forth. And we live that spiritual life as an example. Verse 12 talks about sincerity, talks about a conversation, and in another version, probably a better translation, says conduct, way of life. Let your conduct, your way of life, be honest among the Gentiles. One of the greatest compliments that can be paid a person is that his word is his bond. He's just what he is. Another person and I were talking about another gospel preacher the other day, and the person said, you know, that person is just sincere from the inside out. He's just what you see. I think that's a compliment. Notice also in verse 12 that he talks about your good works. And I would remind you of the picture in Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, the difference, the right hand and the left. He's talking about service to one another. What is spirituality? What is spiritual, being spiritually minded? Doesn't it involve service? When you and I reach out to do something for those that are hurting, when we hold someone's hand or we pat someone on the back or we sit there and shed tears and weep with those that weep, or we're able to rejoice when there's something that's a wonderful occasion, isn't that being spiritual? And then he says in verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Is he saying that when I obey the speed limit and I obey the laws of the land that I'm spiritual? I think he is, for the Lord's sake. And again, there in verse 17, when he says honor all men, fear God, love the brotherhood, he sticks this little statement in, honor the king. In other words, you live as a Christian, you're to be spiritually minded when you're out there in the community, on the street, involved in the activities of the community. And then at verse 18, he says, even on the job. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. In other words, you be a good employee. And you set the right example when you go to work to where your employer knows that he can count on you. He says, that's being a part of this spiritual side. You mean I go out here and do a day's labor and that's involved in my spiritual life? Yes, I think that's what he's saying. Because you see, right there is where you may be able to influence someone. There's where you may be able to really show forth the praises and the spiritual attitude. And then he says in verses 19 and 20 that this being spiritual may involve some self-sacrifice, may involve some suffering, even when it's not deserved. But he says, as a Christian, remembering what Christ did, you ought to be ready to even suffer. If it's for the right reason, and even if you don't deserve it, to suffer to be able to help somebody else. sacrifice, along with service. And then he just sort of sums it up on this showing forth in verse 24 when he says, being dead to sin, we should live unto righteousness. We should live, we should live, we should live. That's what spiritual mindedness is about. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe Paul there in Galatians 2:20 was saying somewhat the same thing this whole chapter is saying. He was saying, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm crucified with Christ, but my life is to be lived. And that would include on the job and in the community and good works that we were just talking about. Built up, offer up, and show forth. That's what spiritual mindedness is about. Built up with the right materials and the right relationship to Christ, to where we have that assurance, those promises that are precious, based on that precious stone of verse 4, that rock, to offer up to God when we're in this building and when we're out of this building, offering worship to Him and service to Him, and showing forth to those around us, to where they see in us the example of Christ as we are involved in good works in the home, on the job, in the community. Lively stones built up a spiritual house. I really think that this is a wonderful chapter to help us to see what is involved in being spiritual. And it just comes down to this, that God wants us to be spiritually minded all the time. And that means there are going to be times that we will laugh. It also means there are going to be times when we'll need to be serious and sober in our thinking and in our actions. I guess it all just comes down to sort of be summed up with this idea that being spiritually minded means being able to have the right attitude toward self and God and others, and out of that attitude, the appropriate actions toward self and God and others on a regular basis, somewhat like we said about Christ this morning, around the clock in our service to Him. And when we invite you to come to Christ, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, to put Him on and wear Him and live for Him, this is what we're talking about, that you may be built up to offer up and to show forth. And if you've not been showing forth in your life the spiritual life that should be there, and you need to come back and ask for forgiveness and for prayers, this is what we're talking about. We need to get our lives right tonight so that we're able to be built up and offer up and show forth the spiritual mindedness that is there. If you don't have that, come to the rock, Jesus Christ, as together we stand and sing.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus.